This will be continuation of topic, love, yearning to Allah and pleasure with Allah. Love of yearning to and pleasure with Allah Azza wa Jal. And Imam Ibn Qudama, Ahmad Ibn Qudama says here, likewise, love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam results from one's love for Allah. The messengers of the beloved are also received with due love. Even their deeds command our love too. The sole source of love is in fact the Almighty. This is due to some reasons as follows. So the one that is loved for himself and for his own essence is Allah and Allah alone. People and creations in general, including the prophets and messengers, are loved for their role, their function, their virtue, their act of virtue. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and the source of love, and he is loved for himself and for his greatness. Not necessarily for any particular act or deed. Now, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not contingent upon anything. The love of the creations is contingent upon things, whether they are in conformity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not in conformity with the divine law or the divine will. And that's the most important contingency. And the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they deserve the due love from us, from Adam alayhi salam through Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, and the ones that are in the middle, and the prophets that are less popular, and the prophets that we do not know of. All of them deserve due love from us because of their role and their function and their virtue, their sacrifices for humanity, and their purity and their wholesomeness and their greatness of character and so on and so forth. Usually you love people because they are good to you or because they are good themselves. But their goodness is, you're not loving them for their essence, you're loving them for their goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. Allah, the creator, the source of love, the creator of love in itself as an emotion. Because those abstract meanings need to be created. You know, because people think that creation only pertains to the three dimensions. Creation belongs to the fourth dimension, which is not recognized by most people. You recognize the depth, height, and width. Those are three dimensions. A creature to you has to conform to the three dimensions. And the thing that people miss is that there is a fourth dimension. Last the Jum'ah, we talked about, you know, being a three-dimensional creature. And we said that Hajj teaches us to be four-dimensional, to be more than, to recognize more than the three dimensions. Because when you sacrifice, when you pay firaf to $6,000, or seven or more or less, I don't know how much it is now. But certainly, for people who are even in other Muslim countries that are less fortunate, it is a huge sacrifice. It's a huge sacrifice. Like in Egypt, for instance, it's 25,000 pounds. 25,000 pounds is, it could be someone's savings, life savings. And so there is a huge sacrifice. And the person who does this and sacrifice all this money to go and make Hajj is the person who does recognize that humanity is not about the three dimensions and that this universe has a fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is spirituality, is your heart, not in the physical sense of the word heart, but in the abstract sense of heart. And it's about these emotions. Now, if do you know that if you are two-dimensional, you cannot, it's very hard for you to imagine that there is a third dimension, right? If you live in a universe that's all two-dimensional, like a completely flat universe. Okay. Is it possible, or mentally, is it possible to have a completely flat universe? Yeah. So how are you going to be moving? Yeah, you're not going to be moving up and down. You're going to be moving side to side. Completely flat universe. So if you have creatures in a completely flat universe, they're completely bidimensional or two-dimensional. They will, when you tell them about a third dimension, they won't believe you. That's the same with the atheists and the people who believe only in matter. No matter how much you talk to them about a fourth dimension, that life is not only about matter. It's not only about things that you see and touch and hear and smell. There is something beyond this. There are concepts, conceptions, emotions. And these exist, and they need to be created. And the creator of these could never be random, you know, could never be an unwillful agent. Because these emotions are all about will and variation and diversity and so on. They can never be part of this mechanical, dynamic vision of the world that the atheists have in their mind. So this dimension, the dimension of emotions, Allah is the creator of all those emotions and is the creator of love in and by itself. Then all love is due to Him. He is the creator of love. So all love belongs to Him. And then, based on your distance or proximity from Allah, I will decide how much I'll love you. Also, you know, based on your kind treatment of me, by nature, because there are two different types of love. There is discretional love. There is this love, with discretion, with tamyiz, love that is intentional. And that is to be all given to Allah, all given to Allah. And then, as far as the creation, you decide how much you give them based on their distance from Him, because it's all His. Now, there is the natural love. There is the natural love, which is not intentional love. It is natural. It is response. In response to someone's good treatment of you. And that love you have no control over. And that love, you are not condemnable if you do not distribute this love on the first basis that we talked about, which is people's distance from Allah, because this is natural love. So these are two different types of love, which makes people, talk about the wala al-bara, allegiance and disavowal, makes it a little bit confusing to people. So how could I disavow an evildoer and at the same time love him because he is my father, or she is my wife, or she is my mother, or she is my daughter, she is whatever. It is very possible. These are two different types of love. We're talking about two different planes here. One is natural and one is intentional. One is responsive, and it is based on people's treatment of you and people's distance from you personally. You know, a mother, a daughter would be the closest, you know, in distance to you. And it depends on their treatment of you, because some people like their mothers more than others. Some mothers are more likable than others. And the same applies to doctors, and so on. So this type of natural love depends on the people's distance from you and their treatment of you. You could have a friend who is more liked by you than a brother, because of the type of relationship between you. But these are the two variables that will control this type of love, which is the natural love. Their distance from you and the type of relationship you have. So the more closer to you, like a mother and a daughter, for instance, the greater the love, the natural love. And then the more kind to you, like if you have a very kind daughter, for instance, you can't love anything more than you love that very kind daughter. And the same applies to a mother out of the creation. And that is the natural love. The love that you should devote to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be your natural love, because He is the one who created you. If your mother was a means to your creation, and she gave birth to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made you. Inside her womb, she was completely oblivious to what's going on inside. She didn't know anything. And Allah is the one who made you and created you and fashioned you and portioned you and gave you the faculties of hearing and vision and intellect and so on and so forth. So you should be most indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that natural love you should feel the most for Allah. Yet the intention of love is all His. The love that you work on, you know, is all His. And then it gets distributed based on people's distance from Him, not from you. Which is very, very important. Because sometimes someone's distance from Allah could be very close, and their distance from you is far. And that is the test here, is to make sure that you put Allah first before you, and you love this person based on his distance from Allah, not his distance from you personally. And people are loved, or beings or are loved, or the loved ones are loved for two things. As we said, for their essence and for their, you know, their essence and then their virtues. And the one who is loved for his essence is only Allah. And the creation are loved for their qualities, virtues, good character, not the essence. Because the essence is what? A human being. The essence of any creature is a creature, a human being. Some human beings are good and some are bad. So you can't love a human being for his essence. Because then you will have to love the most evil of all human beings. Right? Because you're loving them for their essence. Certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored humanity. And He said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We have honored humanity, or mankind. Yet, when it comes, that is in general. But there are evil people that do not deserve to be loved. There are evil people that do not deserve to be loved. And anyone who says that I will love all humanity and I'll love each and every human being is lying to himself. That is straightforward hypocrisy. You can't. It is impossible to love each and every human being. And that would mean that a woman should love her rapist. It means that you should love, you know, the one who killed your mother. And if you're saying that, you know, well, I can do this, well, you can. But at any rate, unless that person repented and so on and so forth, and you recognize how, you know, how regretful they are and so on, then there may be some likelihood in the future. But certainly, you know, we're talking about, you know, a rapist and a woman that was raped. That relationship will never be a relationship of love or appreciation or gratefulness. So in this case, no one is loved for his essence, because what your essence is a human being. That's your essence. No one is loved for his essence but the Creator, because He deserves all the love. Then for human beings, they're loved for their qualities, their virtues, their, you know, good character, conduct. And those could be people that you have never seen and have never come across and they've never had any contact with, like we love the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim, without ever seeing them, because of the greatness of their character, their morals, their manners, their virtues, and so on. hear about their stories, you can't help but loving them. And this, you know, if it's misery, amen, by your love of that generation. But so that's part, one part of it. The other part is their treatment of you and their relationship with you, the kindness they show to you. And that certainly will be, you know, a great determining factor, of how much love you have for a certain individual. So the essence, the virtues, what else? Their treatment. Their kindness to you. If you look at those three, who is more worthy of being loved than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In terms of essence, He is the only one worthy of this type of love. Because there should be no love for any being, for their essence, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In terms of virtues, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah belongs the most beautiful names and attributes. Lillahi al-asma al-husna. And the most beautiful attributes, sifat al-ula, are the greatest and most noble and honorable attributes. And in terms of treatment, see, no matter what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to you, if you really count His favors, then if you're lame and blind and have all kinds of diseases, bedridden or wheelchair bound, etc., you can find that His favors are overwhelming. You know, people talk about, you know, money and wealth. You know that you have 10 trillion cells in your body. 10 trillion cells in your body. Now, if one of those 10 trillion cells in your body malfunctions, it becomes cancerous. So you have 10 trillion million dollars. You know, what is a cell? Can anyone create a cell? Can anyone make one cell? One living cell? No. No one can make one living cell. So how much do you have? How much are you worth? You know, you have 10 trillion cells. Humanity, if humanity convened to make one living cell, they can't make one living cell. And you have 10 trillion of them in your body. If one of them becomes if it starts to malfunction, that means great trouble to you. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeping in good shape your 10 trillion cells at this time. Look at this. You know, and look at all others. You know, the sight, the hearing, everything that you have. And count all of this. So in terms of favors, there is no comparison, and there is no way. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't try. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تَحْصُوهَا. If you count the favors of Allah, you will never be able to keep count of them. You'll never be able to encompass them in counting. It is impossible. Everything is beyond counting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loved for His essence. Allah is loved for His names and for His qualities, for His attributes, for His sifat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loved for His favors. As far as human beings, no one is loved for His essence, even the prophets and Muslims, because their essence is humanity. And that is not love-worthy per se. And then you have their qualities and virtues and so on, and they certainly, the prophets and messengers, are most deserving of this type of love. And in terms of favors, they are the most deserving of this type of love, because they have done you the greatest favor, communicating the message of God to us, humanity. So they are most deserving of this. And then the people who are not particularly righteous or good, They don't deserve the first one because no one deserves it. They don't deserve the second one because they are not righteous. They are not virtuous. They may be loved by you because of the third one, which is their treatment, their relationship with you, their treatment, their kindness, the kindness that they show you. He says here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole source of love. This is due to some reasons, which are as follows. All human beings naturally love themselves, their integrity and eternity. They detest the vice person, Knowing the Almighty, one recognizes that his existence, eternity, and integrity come from the Almighty. He is the Creator. Thus, Al-Hasan said, knowing your Lord, you will love him, whereas knowing this world, you will renounce it. And they used to say that no one who knows Allah and knows the creation will favor transacting with the creation over transacting with Allah. How do you transact with the creation? Riya, showing off. You know, hypocrisy and riya, showing off, is transacting with the creation. You're actually doing the deeds, not for the hasanat, not for the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have for you, whether in this life or the hereafter, but for recognition, for celebrity, for prestige, for reputation, or for something else. You know, he could be just like there was a sheikh who, Bara told me this joke, he heard it. He said a sheikh was telling a joke. He listened to some sheikh online. I don't remember which sheikh that was. Maybe Sheikh Wajdi. So he was listening to some sheikh, online. And then the sheikh said that a man came one day into the masjid and found a group of people sitting. So he started to pray, and his prayer was perfect, excellent, and so on. And at the end, the people came by and they talked to him and so on, and they said, what a good prayer. And so he said to them, and I also fix watches. So it shows you that, you know, it's advertisement. Sometimes for some people, you know, the show of piety is advertisement for themselves, for their business, it's all for the business of this world. It doesn't have much to do with the hereafter. So that is a person who decided that the people or the creation are worth more than God, and that decided to transact with the creation and not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of our righteous predecessors used to say that no one who will know Allah and know the creation will favor transacting with the creation over transacting with Allah. If you do so, then you're ignorant of both. You're ignorant of both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mostly serving because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of your life, your integrity, and so on. And if you love those, then you should love the one who bestowed them on you. Humans naturally love benefactors who support and assist them in all cases. Thus, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole benefactor surrounding man with boundless favors, he will certainly love him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you would count up the favors of Allah, never would you be able to number them. For Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And number three, benefactors are naturally loved even if their benevolence does not reach you. For example, and that is to love people for their own virtues. Like you love Umar bin Khattab, even though certainly if you're really conscious of the contributions of Umar bin Khattab, you will understand how he has many favors on you. But if you do not feel it, you still should love him because of who he was. Benefactors are naturally loved even if their benevolence does not reach you. For example, hearing of a knowledgeable, just, devout, and a kind king in a remote country, you will love him. This aspect of love is attached to benevolence itself, not to mention having a share of it. These criteria necessitate love for the Almighty alone, since He is the original and sole source of benevolence. So the knowledge, and then, so he, that's basically what we were talking about as far as why you should love Allah and you love Him alone. You love Him for His essence, you love Him for His attributes, and you love Him for His benevolence or kindness. And, you know, that you should never find solace or comfort except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you do find comfort in someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't have the true tawakkul and you don't have the true love. You should never be content except when you reach that station where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the appreciation, gratefulness, recognition, has filled your heart and has filled your sight as well, to a point where you are not seeing the people, but you are recognizing their presence, their existence, as we said several times, that we do recognize that the creation exists and the Creator exists, and there is difference between the creation and the Creator. But there is a point where the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the recognition of His greatness and that He is in control of all things will make the creatures look as if they are glass boards, like boards of glass. You're always not seeing them, you're seeing beyond them. You're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond them. You're observing Allah beyond them. And your interactions and transactions with all the creatures, they'll be like glass to you. So they will not stop you from observing Allah beyond them in your interaction with them. Whether that creature is a wife or a child or a father or a co-worker, classmate, neighbor, you know, friend, enemy, you will always not see them because you are seeing beyond them. Because you know that these are but tools by which you are being tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Ja'alna ba'dakum li ba'din fitna, atasbirun." And we have made you a trial for one another. Each one is a trial for the other. Each one is a trial for the other. This trial could be positive or negative. You could be tried by loving someone too much. You could be trying by hating someone too much. You could in different ways. So, but each one is a trial for the other. Atasbirun. Will you then show perseverance? Perseverance with every trial that comes your way. Because there are too many. There are not too many, but there are so many. There are so many. And that will come your way, one after the other. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, like the straws in a straw man. One next to the other. You're always being tried. So the person who have reached that level of recognition and that level of love and that level of attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one where that you know, sees Allah in everything, and the people do not obstruct His vision, the creation do not obstruct His vision from seeing the Creator, from seeing the true effector of all events, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the absolute or ultimate effect of all things, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your heart, which is like if your heart, and the heart in this case is the not necessarily the piece of flesh, but it is the subtle existence within this piece of flesh that is in control of your emotions. That is heavenly in origin, not earthly in origin. It's not earthly in origin, because it has a connection to your ruh. And it is heavenly in origin, not earthly in origin. That's why people always, when they make dua, they look up, and so some people also say that, you know, that this heart tries to pull you up and your nafs tries to pull you down. Like your nafs is attached down here and your heart tries to pull you up. to the higher functions of humanity, which is the highest is the worship of Allah and the higher aspirations, and the lower functions of humanity, food and sex, that weighs you down. And the nafs and the heart, ultimately, one could win completely over the other. So your heart could completely, your nafs is yourself, your ego. That's your nafs. Your heart is your heart. It is that subtle existence of heavenly origin that is meant to be wholesome and good by default, unless you corrupt it. Unless you let your nafs corrupt it, then it will be corrupted. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, when he talks in general about the heart, after he talks about Ibrahim, he says, إِلَّا مَنْ جَاءَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for he who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Salim means what? Salim means salim, which is basically safe from, or secure from, or sound, healthy. But it means that that is the default of the heart. Because as long as it is not afflicted by disease, if it returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He created it and wanted it, without being afflicted by diseases, then that is salvation. That is salvation. Now, your heart can eventually win over your nafs, and your nafs becomes a nafs mutma'inna. Your self becomes in tranquility, tranquil self. The tranquil self. And you see, there are different types of hearts and there are different types of nafs, but maybe that we can have this in a different discussion. But the point is that your nafs, your ego, your self, will try to pull your heart down, and your heart will try to pull your nafs up. And the end of this struggle between the nafs and the heart will decide the result of the test for you, whether your heart wins over your nafs or your nafs wins over your heart. But that heart, which is the source of love, that has this heavenly or subtle existence of heavenly origin inside it, which is the heart, the abstract sense of the heart, which will have, you know, the love, that all was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was made to be the first organ in your body, by the way, to be made, to be created. So when, if you study the genesis of your body as a fetus, you'll find that after the stages of cells and so on, and the first organ that is made as an organ of the major organs of the body is the heart. You know, and at about 20 to 20 days of age, you have a beating heart. 20 to 20 days from conception, you have a beating heart. So once you're beyond the stage of cells that look like, you know, grapes, you know, you get into that stage where you start making your heart, and then around the heart will come the rest of the organs and so on and so forth. So the heart has a great importance, and people who do not purify their heart and do not make sure that the heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Him alone, and they do not cut off all or sever all of the other attachments, because all of the other attachments belong to this world. All of the other attachments pull you down. There is only one attachment that will pull your heart up, which is the attachment of the heart to the creator of this heart, the creator of all of the emotions that exist within your heart, and the creator of the nafs that is pulling the heart down. He's the only one who can actually help you win that struggle, or help your heart win that struggle and not be weighed down by the nafs. them by the lower temptations and lower desires of this life. So, in brief and summary, you know, if love of any being is due because of one of three reasons, one's essence, one's virtues, and one's benevolence, Allah is the most deserving of love because of all three of them. And one of them is only His. Like when we talked last time, we said that there is a room that is kept closed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside your heart. That is a stage of that's equal to tatayyum. Ibadah, worship is in essence close to tatayyum, which is the highest form of love. That is to be enslaved to the beloved. To be enslaved to the beloved. And that room should be kept closed and no one should enter it except Allah. Even the gharam-e-ash, the stations of gharam-e-ash, which is ardent love. You should not let people rise in the stage to get closer to the other room, the highest room, the room of in the enslaving love. The love that enslaves you to the beloved. You should not let anyone rise in within these rooms of gharam-e-ash, ardent love, to become, you know, ardent love is when you're devastated by losing the loved one, but not completely devastated. And the lower, as we said before, which is sababa, which is when your heart pours out after them, sababa from pouring, your heart goes out after them if you're separated from them. And that stage is common because your heart will go out if you lose like a spouse or a mother or a child or a parent and so on. Your heart certainly goes out and you do feel, if not more. And then you have the lowest, which is alaqa, which is just an attachment. That's your coworker that was nice to you. And you will miss them for a few days after they leave. So these are just different stages, but there is that room that should be kept only for Allah, which is to be enslaved to the beloved. That is the ultimate combination of humility and love, which should not be had for anyone but Allah, any creation. And when it comes to the reasons of love and the causes of love, there is this one cause that is only for Allah, restricted for Allah, is loving for the essence of the beloved. Second of all, hands.